I'm scanning for children and don't see them here, so you'll have to come the next hour to see the... Well, I guess you're all someone's child. Okay. Anyway, let us go. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Amen. In some of the reports I came across in the media this past week, people were lamenting as the new normal the many tragedies that have washed over us in recent months. The earthquakes, storms, winds, fires, things we are having to adjust to and live with, both here in North America and around the world. As a contrarian voice, I'd like to propose to you that instead of these occurrences as the new normal, that these occurrences have quite a bit in common with the old normal we've always had to live with. They are the realities from era to era as humanity goes forth through time and events. I will give you that there are a great number of these distressing events to deal with, and that some, such as those that in greater catastrophes yet to come, but the truth is that humanity has always lived through catastrophic realities. Yet in recent times, the United States has come through many of these tribulations relatively unscathed. At least, that is what we have been led to believe. Yet it is only in recent history that we have had the technology to track and predict the paths of hurricanes, tornadoes, and other storms to such an extent that we can give most people ample warning to take cover or get out of the way of an impending disaster. It is only relatively recently that we have begun to understand plate tectonics and other geological phenomena in such a way that we are to anticipate the movements of the earth, such as earthquakes. It is only with the advance of mass communication that we are able to notify the majority of the population when impending danger is imminent. Yet, it is that same mass media that has brought us up-to-the-minute accounts of tribulations happening all around the world in real time. That is why today's lessons still pertain to us in the 21st century. We are beginning the little apocalypse section of the later chapters of Matthew. Here the apostle Matthew shifts from a simple account of the life and teachings of Jesus to training those who are reading the gospel about Jesus' teachings on how to deal with the difficulties of life. Dealing with tragedy is something that we might all need to learn. So in the midst of great trouble, God is throwing a party, a grand party, a wedding feast, an ancient symbol of joy and plenty. The weekly Eucharist anticipates such a feast. It is a foretaste of that great feast to come. It regularly renews us, giving us the courage and wherewithal to deal with all the garbage in our lives. The main story is clear. A father gives a party for his child. Here in Matthew, the father is a wealthy and powerful king, but those invited refuse to come. The king, dejected by this offensive slight, resends personal invitations. But the invitees not only refuse to come, some even murder the messengers. This powerful king retaliates in brutal fashion. Yet, there is also a word of grace here as well, because there is a promising couple waiting at the altar. The food and drink are already prepared, probably music and decorations too. Everything is ready for the party. So the king goes out into the streets, and everyone is invited. Everyone, and not just the good folks, but both the good and the bad are found. Everyone is welcomed to the wedding hall. There is plenty for all. Now we must be careful not to carry the allegory in this parable too far. The king surely represents God, yet this particular king is not an exact replica of God. And just because this king acts in a certain cruel way does not mean that God is also going to act in the same way. The parable is told with hyperbole to catch people's attention, not to give us an understanding of the character of God. And this is the hard part of the interpretation of Scripture, answering which parts of the Scripture pertain to us and which parts do not. And that's where the other lessons for today may help us out. Still, there are other questions that the text leaves unanswered. For instance, who is the fellow without the proper wedding garment? Perhaps he is a reminder to all of us who are at the feast that there are some things that are not becoming in the reign of God. We all have some preparations to do, some changes to make. We dare not think that just because we have been invited, there are no more changes necessary. There are some things that are inappropriate in a godly life. You can probably figure out what they are. They may be the very things that are giving you second thoughts about your own life. Here are just a few possibilities: judgmentalism, gossip, racism, prejudice, hard-heartedness, lack of generosity, abuse. Perhaps no single one of these is enough to give us a trip into the outer darkness, but rather when these things are worn as badges of self-justification, especially when we see them in ourselves, then they remind us that we are unprepared for the feast. When that happens, they should become a signal to us that we need a change. Some that is an expression of Christ-likeness. Perhaps the wedding garment is the very character of Christ in our lives. At any rate, if the king of the story is God, the wedding robe then would be a gift of God, who freely gives the gifts of grace needed for inclusion in the royal ring. We'd know this from the other lessons. God is preparing a rich banquet for us, a banquet of rich food and well-aged wines, a table of plenty, a table of joy where there are no longer tears, a table filled with goodness and mercy, a buffet of reconciliation with one's enemies, a table filled with guests who are honorable, just, pleasing, commendable. These are the gifts God engenders in us through the Holy Spirit, so that we might be the people who obviously belong at the party, those who rejoice in the nearness of God, the God whose gift of peace surpasses all understanding, constantly guards our hearts and minds with the welcome of Christ Jesus. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness.